Good morning and servus, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome on your Austrian Airlines and Star Alliance flight to Frankfurt. Thank you for your cooperation, and now we wish you a pleasant stay on board.
Cheers.
Okay, so one is tired and one can't articulate herself.
That sounds like the perfect recipe for an exciting episode. I do not have a question. You have the question.
I have the question.
All right.
What's it in English?
You want to say it in English?
Like,
yeah.
Is it just question?
I don't know. I call it guesstimation question. It's probably not a real word.
Guesstimation.
Yeah, because it's like an estimation, but you guess. It's a guesstimation.
Guesstimation question.
Awesome.
Actually, this is a...
I'm going to win this one, by the way.
Yes, you are, because it's an innovation. It's a question that I ask for myself. How much money did Alexander spend today by visiting the magic shop Seattle?
That's...
Okay, so now
you're asking yourself? Oh, no.
Let's see. I guess you spent...
$250.
Before tax.
All right, I'm going to write that down. $250. And then we'll figure this out after the episode. I won't say the truth because there is a chance that my wife will listen to this. And so whatever I say, it's, may be the truth, may not be the truth. Yes, hello and welcome to a one-on-one episode of Desk Reject. And hello and welcome once again to an English episode of Desk Reject. We're continuing this until someone tells us to stop, and then we'll still keep on going until enough people tell us to stop. But we're going international now. And we have here, yes, we're doing international expansion. Next will be Spanish, and then we will try French, and we'll see from there how we go. Maybe we'll do an episode where everybody speaks their own language of choice. So look forward to that. And with me today is
Sophie.
And me, Alexander. That's it. Unfortunately, we do not have here with us the Corinthian Dieter. He decided to skip this one. And very unfortunately, as a lot of love out to Philip, who wasn't able to make it because of the big bad corona infection that took him out. But he's with us in spirit. But yeah, it's going to be just a good old one-on-one on the road episode. Well, actually in the hotel room episode. But yeah, I mean, we're at AOM right now. Canyon Management Conference. We're on the second to last day. You had your presentation.
I had my presentation today. I think you're going to present tomorrow still.
Oh, yeah. I've got the graveyard slot tomorrow. I'm going to be going on the afternoon on Tuesday. Half the people I've talked to already told me that they're on their way up to Vancouver at that time. So,
and the other half will be very drunk tonight.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to a crowd of at least 2 to 3 people.
Which consists of half of me.
Yeah, no, I'm not even... You didn't even show up to my poster session. I don't have any hopes that anybody will show up. Maybe Tom will show up. Tom, please show up. But yeah, this is where we're at. And we just wanted to talk about conferences again, because this is great. I mean, I'm not even going to set it up as a question of whether conferences are great or not. I think we both agree that we've had a great time so far. Sophie's nodding, as you can hear. It's always great for an audio format to nod. But to trust you, me, she's in agreement. It's your first time here.
It's my first time here, although there's a badge for first time attendees, but I didn't
put
it on my name tag because I didn't want to out myself, like, bias people about. I wanted to look confident that I'm like easily flowing through this conference, knowing what I'm doing, like everyone else, right?
That's a funny point, because I feel like I do notice first-time attendees, even without the badge. It feels, I don't know, maybe I'm just overestimating the amounts of times I've guessed people were here the first time correct, or it's just a huge number of first-time AOM visitors, which also could be because it was a corona stuff happening. But I feel like it is possible to spot the people that are here for the first
time. What are cues? Do you think like they're slightly overdressed, or that their behavior is different, their movements?
It's, yeah, once again, complete conjecture. It's probably the dress and the kind of hanging on to someone's coattails a lot of the time, like kind of latching on and standing somewhere and looking around. You kind of notice this confidence of three or fourth time AOMers that immediately they talk to you. And while they're talking to you, you can always already see them glancing over your shoulder. And then while you're saying, they're nodding and they're like pointing and saying, I need to talk to this person.
On the other side, as you can't see Alexander as I do now, he's doing the professor move right now. Like at work, I only see him in suits and nice shirts. And now he brought his even nicer shirts to the conference. So there has been no day where I haven't seen him in a shirt without flowers or bees or I don't know what patterns you have.
Yeah, I've got to keep people on their toes. So I decided to go. As I've told a few people, I will never be remembered for what I'm researching. I may be remembered for my wardrobe. And so that's going to be my USP going forward if I stick around. Nobody will know what I do, but they may talk about who the weirdo was with the way too revealing cleavage and the white pants. So that's my thing. But yeah, first we got off track a little bit. First, AOM, share with me, with the world, with our hundreds and hundreds of listeners, what's your impression?
It's overwhelming. I think what's special about AOM is it's also my first US-American conference.
Okay.
And so I'm exposed to a lot of American researchers, and mm-hmm. it's such a difference to Europe. Like, I think we've discussed before, like in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but mentality is really about criticism. And that's good to learn. And over here, I mean, you see it from the movies and stuff. And Americans are nice and open mm-hmm. and really open to discuss with you. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's also like, it's kind of overwhelming for a European small girl from uptown Hamburg that people are so open-minded. But I like it. I love it. Yeah, it's amazing.
It. Like, it's great. Like, I love it. Yeah, I echo that. Definitely. We had a brief talk about that in the episode where you weren't with us, where I was reflecting on Boston. And that was my main takeaway as well. It's honestly, it's quite refreshing to have that. And we talked with Jakob as well. It's a bit demoralizing to be researching in the DACH area, because even my knee-jerk reaction usually tends to be to look for the flaws in ideas. And I think here the premises is every idea is flawed anyway. Like every idea, even if some huge guy comes, he's not going to come up with a fully fledged idea. And just poking holes in an obviously flawed idea is not going to accomplish anything apart from not even trying. So there's this very, get this American kind of mindset of just do it, try it. You know, maybe you'll stumble into some serendipitous greatness, but definitely don't give up before you've even started.
Yeah, like I really like this mindset, and I hope I keep it. Like it's really helping to hold on and to get this positive feedback. I mean, conferences in general, like people are nice and like they say that's interesting in the first place, right? But I got engaged. I was lucky enough to get engaged into deeper discussions that lasted for two and a half hours with professors that had more citations than I will have probably. And they were just open to talk to me. And it for me, it was like I think that's the feeling when people meet Rihanna or Kanye West or so. But I'm just in the state of, I can't even describe it. Like I'm so jet lagged. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
So many inputs. I'm so overwhelmed, but I'm really hyped Like, yeah. It's like a festival. And everywhere where you go in the city, people have the lanyard on with the credentials. And you're just like, this is great. Yeah. Like, it's really cool.
It literally is. It's Coachella for researchers in every way, apart from music. Music is the one thing that's weirdly missing most of the time.
Even at the social parties.
Yes.
There are drinks, but no music.
Nope. You're just kind of supposed to talk, but it is. It really is. Like you said, I was talking to my wife this morning and I told her, it's so cool to hang out with people. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Like everybody's in a good mood.
Yeah.
Everybody is. And it has this kind of celebrity feeling sometimes when you see someone that you've been citing over and over again and you finally have a face to that name of that paper that's been inspiring you or that's been guiding you, or you see, you know, you get these round tables and all of a sudden this person is sitting next to you, like you said, who's got more citations than pages of paper that I'll ever be writing. True. It's just fun. It's a festival, really is. So I mean, now that you've been here, we've been here, why should anybody go though? Like, why should a PhD student go to AOM or something like AOM if you're not in management?
I feel like, why shouldn't you go? Yeah. Like, this is academia. This is your network. These are the people that you will work with, that you cite, that you will build on. Like, I feel like I understand now that research is really community effort.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you have to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't work. Like, it works if you're just... I mean, for me, I'm trying... In my research, I'm crossing two fields. And one field, my supervisor is really, he's an expert in it. And then I'm taking in another field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading a lot, but I've never met those people. And I'm not sure if I'm missing out on something.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first time here, I was in their panel and symposium and all of their events. And it's so good to just talk to them. Like, you cannot get the information by reading 100 pages by what you just discuss over a drink.
Yeah.
So I think, I'll wrap it up as research is community effort. And therefore, you need to get to know your community.
I think there's not even a gray zone, really. Like you said, why shouldn't you go? The only reason why you should be thinking or not sure about whether you should go is if it's financial. And that's a real big, I can understand. And I think that's very sad.
Yeah.
But if that is really the thing, if it's a financial question, that you don't know if you'll be able to afford it, fair enough. And mm-hmm. that it doesn't mean that you can't take part in science if you can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ways then, but if you can't afford it, why make your life hard? Why, like you said, you can learn more from talking to a person than from spending half a year reading their stuff. You can talk to a person and you can actually learn about how this paper happened. You see the final result, but they might be able to share something with you that they don't write down. And then they mm-hmm. tell you, or this is version number 34, and we were struggling doing this paper.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, ultimately, the currency that we trade in is publications. Here you can talk, you can get certainty that you can't get from reading anything. You can go up to somebody who's an editor
mm-hmm.
and just ask them, hey, this is my thing. Is this like, how? What do you think about it? Give him a pitch and then he'll give you some information, not 100% information, but more than you could ever get by trying to figure it out mm-hmm. on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the productive side of things, right? But a huge part is the community aspect of just enjoying yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's really the weak, in a cynical perspective, the week in a year where you're allowed to have fun in your job, really. I mean, most of the time you're expected to perform, to work, to research, to sit, to produce. And this is this time, like we said, where it's a festival. You meet old friends, you meet new friends, mm-hmm. and they really do. They do become friends in a way that might, if you stick around, be friends forever. Because mm-hmm. if you meet a good person that you enjoy hanging out with here, you'll have a friend for life, because it's very likely that if this person decides to stay in academia as well and stay at the field, that's, for example, at one of the conferences that you're attending, and it's a big one. This is like called AOM, AMA, NBR, whatever your field of conference is. Likelihood is that at least one time a year you will see this person and you'll be able to interact with him. And that no other profession, I think, can give you that guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're in like a great job at Facebook or Amazon and you go to these professional conferences, if you meet someone there that you get along with really well and it's a yearly conference, there's no guarantee that he'll be there again. But with these conferences, you're close to 90% sure that you will see this person again. You'll be able to hang out with this person again. And yeah, that's cool.
That's really cool. Like, there are 10,000 people attending AOM. Mm. And still I run into those that I know,
yeah.
that I met on different occasions, like other conferences or workshops or whatever. It's really cool. And one thing that I've never thought of is, what's weird is that when you stay in academia, you will have colleagues at home. Mm-hmm. Like, we as PhDs, it's a little bit different. We are lucky that we are many PhDs working on the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a professor, you're the only one at your university probably working in that field.
Mm-hmm.
And your colleagues are spread out throughout the world. And you can actively pick them. Like, you can actively pick who you want to work with. Who's mm-hmm. your co-author? What interests you? Where do you want to go? And I don't know many jobs that do have that.
No. That's another point is... And I think, I don't know how to say this, but I'd be careful to paint this too much as a, you know, you need to do this and you need to maximize your efficiency and, you know, use this as kind of, okay, you've got this 1 week in your year and then you need to network and talk to editors and find co-authors and, you know, have a list of people you need to talk to, otherwise you didn't make it. But this aspect of just serendipitously getting in touch with a co-author just over drinks, it really happens, I think. I mean, I have a case where I've gotten together with someone at a conference that I met and that we're working together now. I've met people that have shown similar interest in working together. Who knows if it works out or not?
Mm-hmm.
But just not even by going there hunting for co-authors, like running around trying to figure out who will be writing papers with, just by interacting with people and being interested.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy for me how randomly you run into people and talk to people that all of a sudden you figure out why we're doing pretty similar stuff. You've got the expertise that I'm lacking and I've got some skill that you may be lacking. Let's sit together and talk for half an hour or an mm-hmm. hour and maybe something happens. And then maybe, you know, you've got a co-author and a friend for life. That is crazy.
This cool. is like the time, like we're in other workspaces, you have the water cooler and where people serendipitously meet and talk over projects. This is AOM. This is a conference where you have like 5 days of water cooler opportunities where you meet someone by coincidence and then just start to talk. Like, everyone is so open to talk and everything is possible then.
Yeah.
But guess who I met today?
Out of the 10,000 people, I'm supposed to guess who you met today.
So there was one.
In Seattle, Jeff Bezos.
No, he didn't even have a name on his bell. Like, the headquarters, they don't have any sign that it's the Amazon headquarters.
Did you see it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was just before. But anyway, someone ran into me and said, "Hey, you're Sophie. I'm Tim."
Okay.
And I'm like, "Tim, hi. You're the one from the podcast."
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so shout out to Tim. We might meet him later at the NYU reception.
Oh, cool.
But I got recognized by, I don't know, either my name or I don't know how. He knew that I was the one doing the podcast.
We are famous, you know. We're just people are probably not talking to us because we're just eluding so much star power that they're afraid to talk to us.
That's your take on it.
Yes, 100%. I've not, that's all, basically saying nobody has approached me that they've heard of me in my podcast. I firmly believe it's just people are too afraid to talk to me because we're such stars in the field of podcasting, and people just see us. And
so that was my star moment, but I also had a not fangirl moment, but also a nice moment. Like, there was someone sitting behind me in a panel,
yeah,
and then he was raising a question afterwards in the discussion, and I was like, I know that one. And I was just turned around, and it was my professor from my undergrad studies 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, cool. And he was also happy that I made it to academia. And now I'm on the other side as well. So yeah, that's the kind of stuff that happens at AOM.
And it only happens. So yeah, we've been talking about AOM a lot. It sounds like we're sponsored by AOM, but you can replace, I think, AOM with name of biggest conference in your field. I feel like this is universe. I'm not sure, but I feel pretty safe to say whatever you're studying, there must be one conference where people show up in your field, yeah, where it's just like a gathering. So, but yeah, exactly. So all these things we're saying, I feel like I'd be surprised if it's not the same in I mean, closer fields like economics and marketing and psychology, but I'd be surprised if it's not the case in engineering and natural sciences and that's it, right? That's everything you can study, yeah? Yeah, got them all. So definitely, definitely really cool, use this opportunity. So nothing really changed between the first time that I went and that compared to the last episode we did here 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Crazy. Yeah.
3 years ago.
Yeah. So how was it different from being online?
So there's two things. The one thing is, how was it different to being online, and how was it different to being here the second time in person? How is it different to being online? It's completely different. I mean, you've been an online conference. Mm-hmm. It's not comparable.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't. It's an online conference is just like a Zoom call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter. You don't interact. You don't. You can't network. I feel like it's absolutely useless.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from sustainability concerns, which are valid for sure. I mean, you can ask the question of what is it worth the negative externalities of all the emissions and all the other societal consequences of gathering 10,000 people in one space that have to fly from all over the place? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But for junior scholars, I don't see any alternative. If the game is, as we said, if research is a community, you can't establish that online.
Mm-hmm.
At least not the way it's done now, and at least not the way by doing decentralized Zoom calls and making half-baked efforts of having like virtual meeting rooms,
mm-hmm.
as if that would make it similar to your social events.
Mm-hmm.
What you think what's your impression of the difference?
Yeah, I think my question was stupid. Like, of course there's a difference. Of course we all know the answer, but I think you answered it in a more appropriate way by asking yourself if we can, if it's necessary to meet
mm-hmm.
in person. And of course, it's a different thing. I haven't thought it through yet. Like, I really feel bad for taking the very long flight.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, right now I'm so hyped and I see all of the advantages. Yeah, I haven't had made up my mind and a final decision yet. Like,
I mean, one way to think about it is, and I don't know if that's the right way, because that has negative consequences, of course, as well, is kind of be selective with your conferences. Maybe before sustainability debates and Corona, you'd say, okay, if I can, I'll go to every single conference I can make.
Mm-hmm.
I can afford and I can make. I'll just go everywhere. No, I don't even look where it is. I don't even take that into my calculation. If I can submit something, if I can go there, I'll go there. If there's 200 people or 10,000 people like AOM, maybe it's a matter of, you know, okay, I'll take one conference. I'll only go to AOM.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And the others, I might submit stuff and then be online if possible, or others only in Europe, things like that. And then I'll have one which is somewhere else, because I do think you need, as a scholar, if your community isn't obviously located next door, mm-hmm. you just need to show up if you want to advance.
This even triggers more philosophical questions in my mind. Like if you only, let's say you only choose one conference, I feel like this is my first US conference and the culture is so different. And I feel like now that I've been here, my research will also change, like my research approach mm-hmm. and how I do it. And it's heavily, like academia is heavily influenced by US
yeah.
right now. So I think it's important to know how the game is played over mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. If you only stick to Europe, you don't see the full picture. Mm-mm. And then, of course, it triggers questions of, is this the right way? Is this the best research we can do as a community if mm-hmm. it's so heavily influenced? But I think that's another episode.
Then. Yeah, yeah, no, that's like a systemic perspective. I think
there's and because nothing... we're sponsored by AOM,
of course, yes.
I should be only positive, right?
Yeah. There's a AOM representative in the room with us right now that is looking very angrily at Sophie. But yeah, that's the one, right? So that's the one thing, online versus offline. We're both of us, Sophie much more than me, are aware of the societal consequences of this. And it's not a easy decision from that aspect. But like Sophie said, if you need to play the game, you might reach a stage at some point where you don't have to play the game anymore. But you'll never get there if you, as a PhD, decide, well, I'm just going to be online. You know, I don't need this. I don't want to play according to the rules. I don't really see a realistic chance of you being able to succeed. And then being here for the second time in person, you really do... kind of, it's nice to be here a second time because you already know what you'll be expecting. Mm-hmm. You know where to go. You know what are great, good sessions, what are not so good sessions. You know who you'll be able to talk to. And you already really intrinsically know, for example, the value and the great fun and just importance of these social events, mm-hmm. which feel like indulgence. Mm-hmm. But really are, I think, the core of these conferences is, you know, hanging out with people in a very relaxed setting. Whereas if you go there for the first time, you might be thinking, I need to soak up as many input sessions as possible. And then if I can still stand upright without falling asleep, I might go to one or two socials. Mm-hmm. And the other is just knowing a few people already and just the factor of, yeah, you know, go to a consortium or a plenary session or some other session, then immediately it's no longer you having to think about, okay, I know this person from reading his research. I need some kind of opener to go up and talk to him. If your second time around, you may know someone already that can introduce you to them easily, mm-hmm. or you've met them before and maybe had a brief chat. And even if they can't remember you anymore, you can just go up and say, hey, so nice to see you again. Mm-hmm. So great to see you after the last time at AOM, mm-hmm. or, you know, insert name of conference here. And then, you know, they probably won't remember you if they're higher up, but it'll be a different kind of level of confidence you can bring mm-hmm. to the discussion. And also, you just don't take these sessions seriously anymore. It felt like you need to soak up everything. And, you know, if you missed something really, some really cool session, or you have to decide between two, and then you feel like you missed something. But it's really not about that, I feel, for me, at least. Mm-hmm. Second time here, I've overslept today by 2 hours. I missed like 50% of the things I wanted to see. And I feel like that was the better decision, to be still tired. But to definitely have partied hard yesterday, slept long, missed sessions, and being able to, you know, still stand today and also see the city a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's what I took away from a second visit.
It's funny that you describe it like that. If you describe it like that, I have the feeling I visited for the second time as well.
Yeah.
So I think my survival tip for the game is to, before you go, and you should go early, like you... apply for the PDWs, for the consortia, whatever. Yeah. Like, you don't have to submit a paper to go. I think the earlier you go, the better it is, because you can learn on so many levels.
Yeah.
And when you do it, talk to someone who already went or listen to our podcast.
Yes. Tell others to listen to our podcast.
Yes, that's really important. Just because, like, or it's not different to other conferences from the, like, from the basic dynamics. So, for example, my presentation today, I was deeply, like, not that I didn't care, but I was really relaxed about it. Like, I wasn't, I knew that it's just one part of the whole conference, and it's not the most important one, because not many people are going to show up. Of course, I was prepared that someone could show up who's important and blah, blah, but I didn't really stress out. And I think it helped me that I attended other conferences before, and that I talked to you, to Philip, to Didi, who already attended, what the best things are to do on the conference. So I applied for PDWs, for consortia, which was great to network, to get to know people. I selected a couple of sessions that really, really triggered my interest. And I knew that I would really want to go there. And then I had, I wrote emails up front to two professors that I really wanted to talk with. And both of them agreed, as I said in the very beginning. And I think that was the most valuable takeaway for me on this conference, to have both of these talks with those professors. And what I also did is that I scheduled breaks for myself to reflect and to really write down everything that I've been thinking of within the discussion before I then head to the next social and drink three beers to forget it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really helped me to know what's important and know what I can skip. And I didn't want to go to every single session, because then I would be too exhausted to focus on what I want to get out of this conference.
Yeah, I think I might have mentioned that before in one of the episodes, but it's worth repeating this what Sophie did, this reaching out to people before you go there is like the best thing you can possibly do if you go to such a large conference, especially because A, you do have the opportunity to get in touch with people you'd never be able to talk to, and you might think they will never have time to talk to you because they're just so huge in like academic terms. But so that's number one, reach out, and most likely they will actually have time to talk to you. And the second thing is, you will not be able to wing it, most likely. You won't be able to walk up to a person at AOM and just say, hey, can we, you know, have a chat for half an hour? Because these people, there are people that get in touch with them, and they have their own mission of who they want to talk to. And if you haven't approached them beforehand, they most likely won't have time. I did that mistake myself. I only realized while I'm at the conference that there's a person I really love to talk to, and I just never managed to get in touch with him, because every time I saw him and I wanted to talk to him, he basically said, yeah, we should definitely talk, but I've got a meeting, and I've got a meeting then, and oh, maybe tomorrow. Oh no, sorry, but I need to skip this because some other person or somebody invited me on a PDW, and now I'm not going to be able to talk to him. And I screwed up because I just didn't spend as much time reaching out to people beforehand. So I also feel like that's an amazingly important and great tip, because it'll be so much more valuable than anything else that you do at the conference, so much more valuable than the presentation, than consortia, than PDW. All of these things are great, but if you just manage to cram in one single conversation with a researcher that is key to what you're doing, you might, and then you go home right after that, you'll still have taken 80% of the value out of a conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like it makes sense, right? If someone approaches you and asks you for your time, how open are you to sit down for an hour with a person? If someone approaches you in advance with an email and you know that you're going to sit down with someone, they will do it. Yeah. And then they will buy you coffee. And Russell, if you hear this, I thought of you when I mentioned Rihanna. So this was my Rihanna moment when I talked with Russell Crepenzano, who's like huge in the field that I'm in.
And you do, it's you don't, it's like a psychological thing as well. If you manage to get into someone's calendar, they'll feel much more, the obligation to actually do this, to actually talk to you and really do it and plan it out. But if you meet someone at a conference and you talk to them and you say, like, someone that is a busy person, it'll be far easier just for them to, in the spur of the moment, just say, yeah, why not tomorrow for like half an hour, for them then to realize either honestly, oops, I had something more important to do actually and I need to reschedule, or it'll give them the time to reflect and think about, wait a second, actually, I need time to rest myself. I just told this person I'm willing to meet with them, but honestly, I really, thinking about it now, I really can't be bothered. I'm mm-hmm. too tired. I've got other things to do. Mm-hmm. I've got to work. Mm-hmm. But if you're in their calendar and if you got them to, in writing, basically tell you, I'll have time for you, it's a very
print
different.
It out. Yeah. Print that I have time for you out.
But now we've been ranting and raving. So getting a bit getting towards the end of this episode, what is there anything that you wish you'd have done differently or done before or yes. something? Yes, what's that?
Not buying new shoes for the conference. I have so many blisters. And what I would have changed is buy Band-Aids for blisters. Like, you're going to walk so much, everyone told me, but still I bought new shoes. I was thinking so much about what shoes to wear. Like, I have sneakers now, but still they're uncomfy. I don't know, because they look a little bit more elaborated than the usual one. But really, just buy comfy shoes. I saw people in thongs. It's called flip-flops.
Thongs is
Australian.
Thongs is underpants. So you mean flip-flops?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Australia, you say thongs.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my number one regret.
Yeah, good. Very, very good point. I have a similar thing. Bring more clothes than you thought you need to bring, because I need to shower twice a day. Because it's really, the temperature changes, they really screw with you, and then you need to shower, and then it sucks to have to wear the same thing again after showering, because you realize you only planned one, you know, kind of pair of clothes. And I spilt, don't wear white trousers. I definitely spilt coffee all over the front of myself within 10 minutes of wearing these things. So a lot of wardrobe related tips. But as mentioned before, the regret that I mentioned of not reaching out to more people, and the good thing of Sophie to really reach out to people, I think that's the number one, really. One, if you do one thing and you want to get the best out of a conference, I think there's nothing goes over personal outreach to people you want to talk to. And then the rest is like follow up. You know, you can always think, okay, what could I do beyond that?
Reach out and don't be shy.
No. Really be the opposite. Be brash.
Mm-hmm.
Really, just, you know, the worst that can happen is they ignoring your email.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd go to the guesstimation question, but first, and then relatedly, we have a little segment that is very important that I'll be improvising here, because this episode is I Decided brought to you by Card Kingdom, which is the biggest Magic card online store in the world. At least in the US, it's the main kind of Magic card store or trading card store.
Chances are high it's the world.
might be the case, because their headquarters is here in Seattle, and below the headquarters, there is the most amazing cafe / bar / shop with just, I spent over an hour, nearly I think 2 hours, just walking around and nerding out like a little kid. You can get your board games and your D&D books and your magic cards, and it's just the fucking dream come true. And you can also just play and eat and drink and hang out. It's cool. if you're in Seattle, go to Mox Boarding House, which is the Card Kingdom's kind of cafe, and you can draft there, which I wasn't able to do. But yeah, that's an honest to God, genuine from my heart endorsement for a change in our most important segment.
This is so weird.
I know. I've been episodes with you is always way too positive. I need Philip and Dieter for me to get really negative. But yeah, the guesstimation question, you said I spent $250.
Yeah.
What I did spend will never be heard on tape, because that's not something you guys need to know.
That's also weird. Like, everything is different in this episode. You're improvising. You're really improvising on the ad segment.
I know.
You're not ranting at all. The only rant was early in the beginning, something against me, but that was it.
I'll make sure to add that into the episode. And with that, we'll end with a note of something that we are familiar with, by saying thank you very much to you guys. If you enjoy what we're doing, please like and subscribe and do all the clicky stuff and give us hearts and stars and reviews. Please, please do. We really love
magic
reading.
Magic cards.
And send us magic cards. We really love hearing back from you. And it's something we do because we enjoy doing it, and we do it anyway, even if you don't give us feedback. But if you really like what we're doing, just go, I don't know, Apple or somewhere, tweet at us, I don't know. Follow us, that being said, on Twitter and Instagram, but primarily on Twitter. I'm going to be catching up with Instagram pretty soon, me being the Twitter responsible person and Sophie in charge of the Instagram. So, you know, go on Twitter. And I need to say thanks to the VUTFL team for giving us their equipment. I'm pretty sure they don't know that I still have it, but I'll say thanks anyway. This episode is going to be produced by myself and sometimes by Sophie. And the music is by Blue Dot Sessions. And the logo was designed by Stefan Kardosch, who I'm not sure if Creative Prism is still a thing, but at least when he designed it, that was his business. And with that being said, thank you so much. We're going to go off and get drunk.
Bye, guys. And hello to the five guys that I met at the water cooler and very weirdly just said follow Desk Reject and then left. Hi, welcome to Desk Reject.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Messenger's boarding is completed.
God.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Do you want to give us your name and what your affiliation is?
I'm Christina and I'm affiliated with TBS.
Brilliant. So we're always happy to meet our biggest fans. And what we usually want to know is who are your two favorite hosts of the Desk Reject podcast?
What?
Your two favorite hosts.
Of what?
Of your favorite podcast, Desk Reject, the podcast.
I don't have any favorite podcasts, and I don't have like.
So, hello. Do you want to introduce yourself and what your affiliation is?
I'm Paige Clayton. I'm an assistant professor at Georgia Tech.
So nice to see you again. So, as you know, we're here with our fan base of listeners for our podcast, just as you are. So I really wanted to know, we don't really see our fans that often, and I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite Desk Reject episode and why?
It's my favorite Desk Reject episode?
Yes, from the podcast Desk Reject, your favorite episode and why?
I really enjoyed that episode. What?
Okay. Yes. Perfect. Perfect answer. Thank you so much. Yeah. So really nice to meet you here. Do you just want to introduce yourself and your affiliation?
Germaine Kaminski from Maastricht University.
So nice to see you here. And so we're here at the conference at AOM with all of our fans. And you as an avid listener of the Desk Reject podcast, we just really want to know, what is your favorite episode of the Desk Reject podcast and why?
Actually, to be honest, I think I listened only to the first episode recently on Spotify.
Oh, you actually listened to it. This is going contrary to what I was
expecting. The first episode, it was about the experience with academia and how it is to dive into the PhD, I remember, right?
Yes, you're the first person that has genuinely heard our podcast.
No, I did.
No way.
No, I did the first episode for sure.